Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my special guest this week, Lynn Blackledge. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you.
Lynn is a bit of a social media whiz kid, so I'm so pleased you're here because I'm a real Luddite and haven't got a clue, so I'm going to pin back my ears and hoping to learn an awful lot from this session. So Lynn, tell us, how did all that begin?
I like the way you call me a whiz kid. I need to point out that actually I'm the other end of the scale at 65.
And hence the wisdom.
Oh, right, okay. And how it started, it actually started in the, you know, funny how things happen, but I was in a long dark tunnel back in 2010.
Okay.
Various circumstances had happened, and I ended up living with my parents at age 58. A business that I've been working on, the business went, but it wasn't my fault. It was the company moved the goalposts, like they tend
like
to.
They do, yeah.
Like they do. So I ended up actually moving in with my mum and dad. There's a bonus to that because little did I know my dad only had 18 months left.
Oh, so that
so
was meant to be, wasn't it?
Every cloud has a silver lining. Mm. So that was brilliant. The company who moved the goalposts, was I glad in the end that they did. But then I found myself with no money. But I was with my mum and dad. I had a roof over my head. I had food in my tummy. I was warm. And I had a laptop, which I plugged into their electricity. And I found Facebook.
Okay.
You know, so that's how it started.
Right. And I suppose it's that necessity was the mother of invention then, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, my business had gone. My backstory is I have 30 years teaching background, but yeah. I've given that up.
What age did you teach?
I trained from 5 to 13, but ended up, when my first son was born, running a nursery school. And the reason I didn't train for nursery was because I didn't think you'd see the results quickly enough in what you were teaching. And boy, was I wrong.
Mm. So after 30 years teaching, that just sounds like amazing. It must have changed so much since
it did. Yes, it did. And I mean, I qualified at Brighton College of Education, and then I couldn't get a job. 3 years training, and I went back to my borough of Ealing, West London, where I was brought up, and applied for a job, and they wouldn't give me one. I ended up working in Sainsbury's for 3 weeks.
No.
And then something came up that I took a job. It was there was a job helping out in a school. It wasn't a class teacher,
no,
but
yeah.
It was, it got me into the system, you
I
know,
see.
3 weeks in. And then after that, I got a teaching job. But I had to go out of my borough. You know, I was actually getting a teaching job in another borough, although I'd been paid to be educated by my original borough. But anyway, long story short, I ended up teaching for 3 years in the state system, and then I had my son. And then when he was 18 months old, I opened my own nursery school, which I ran for 21 years. And then I came back into education because my parents had a school on the island. I'd given up my nursery school, and my dad twisted my arm to come and help out on the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
In the school.
Tell me, I'm intrigued at the thought of you running a nursery school, because that would be my idea of absolute hell. What was the funniest thing that happened?
Oh, I must tell you, there's one girl, it just springs to mind, I didn't know you were going to ask that, but there's a little girl, and she was 2, she joined my nursery school on her second birthday, and I knew on day one that she was going to challenge me, and if I didn't win, she was, I you know, on that day, I was never going to win with her, she was going to rule me. But when she, and I did win, but we had a wonderful relationship.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I can't remember how I dealt with it. It was just being firm and assertive.
Okay.
But I've always worked in a friendly and fun way. I have a wicked sense of humour. Mm. Things have to be fun, but they had to know the boundaries, because it was impossible if they don't know the boundaries. But when she was 4. And by this time, I was running lots of little shows with the children on, and parents were coming, and they loved it. And I did dressmaking, so I made all the costumes,
yeah,
and things. And we did a round the world show, and she was a can can girl,
and a can can girl.
Yes,
at 4.
Yeah, I had.
Was
no,
this
I
your
hadn't.
Idea?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, well, it was fun, you know. We went around the world, you see. So in France, we had, you know, we were having the Can-Can Girls.
Okay.
And we had Spanish girls, all that sort of thing. And she came in one day and she said to me, and she stood with her hand on her hips. I know we're on radio, so I can't do it.
Yes,
I can show
we
you.
We can picture her.
Yes. Yep. She said, "We are the Can-Can Girls. We don't smoke or we don't drink. At least that's what our parents think. We don't play with little toys. We go out with sexy boys." And this was a four-year-old. That's just fun.
So who put those words into her mouth?
I have no idea. And I debated. It was such fun, that just the way she stood there with her, you know, her body language, and she just absolutely wiggled those hips, you know. And I debated whether I should put this in or not. You know, there was that fine line. Mm. Do I do it or don't?
Yeah.
And I did, and it brought the house down.
Really? Okay.
It was a risk. I know, I took a risk.
I wonder what that little girl's doing now.
I'd love to know where she is. Maybe I need to Google her, see if, you know, I can't even... her name was Ada, but I can't remember what her surname was, but maybe I can use my own social media skills to, you know, to follow through.
Do you think she made it to the Moulin Rouge?
I don't know.
let's hope maybe the Royal Ballet.
Yes, that might. Yes.
Let's move this on a bit.
Yes.
So, yeah, it sounded like you had a lot of fun.
We did. We had tremendous fun.
Yeah.
I mean, my thing is life has to be fun.
Yeah.
You get one life, you get one crack at it. And if you can't have fun along the way...
But yeah. It certainly sounded, you know, you said you found yourself, in middle age, sort of battling with your parents.
Yes.
Which, in one way, you were very lucky in terms of having that base to go back to, and two, to be able to spend that precious time with your father.
Mm.
But that must have been quite a terrible thing for you to have to live through.
It was. It was a very difficult time. Mm. The business had gone... life was just a big struggle, but you know, as I say, I was lucky enough to be able to go. My parents have a big house, mm. And have those last 18 months of my dad's life. And you know, nobody can put a price on that.
No.
So actually, that far outweighs. I mean, it was a very long dark
yes.
tunnel I was in. This was back in 2009, and it was a very long dark tunnel. Dad died in 15th of June. We're just coming up for the 6th anniversary, but. It's not a sad time for me. It's never sad because I have so many happy memories.
And were a lot of those memories made in that time you were there?
Well, not just then, but all through, mm. you know, even I was even in the co-op yesterday and there was a little toy there and it just reminded me of Dad. The reminders are everywhere,
yeah, of course,
you know, so
yeah.
I don't feel he ever left me. He's
no.
still here with me.
I think that's when I lost my father, a friend of mine, he said, you know, I've got to tell you, Joan, you mustn't panic. You mustn't get upset because your father will always be with you. And I thought, well, that's a lovely sentiment, but I'm not sure I can kind of believe that, as I felt so bereft. But as the years have passed, I do get that now, and like you mm. say, the reminders are everywhere. You find yourself saying those little sayings that they used to come out with,
mm.
and you think, okay, so what would my dad do now if I mm. was to be able to call him up for advice? What would he say?
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, and but I still do that thing of when I'm in crisis, I think, I must tell my dad, I must see what he'd say. And of course, you think, well, I can't, but you think, I can, because mm. I knew him so well, I know what he'd tell me to do, so I kind of try and do that as well.
I do. I mean, I feel like he's sitting on my shoulder most of the time. And, you know, if I'm in a crisis, I say, come on, Dad. I don't often, you know, I haven't often had to do that. And whether I get an answer back or not, it doesn't matter. You know, mm. I've actually asked him. But, no, I mean, it was he was a fun person. And he just gave so much. He gave a lot in life. He was a Rotarian. He was a local preacher in later years and that sort of thing. And he was always giving back. But he just so many happy memories. I did, the only time I shed a tear, and somebody pointed out to me, I just moved into a flat and I hadn't got his picture up.
Right.
And it was a temp. It was like,
oh, it's
hardly
so
any tears at all. But it was just that. And it was just took somebody to say, Lynn, your dad's picture's not up. And that was it.
You know? Do need that touchstone, don't you?
But the funny thing was, the year he died, I was very bad at getting Father's Day cards and things in advance. And that year, I bought it in advance. And I've still got it sitting at home because he didn't make it to Father's Day. But it's those cards and that card and that present very special.
Yes,
and they're sitting there.
I completely understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last time I saw my father was on his 90th birthday.
Right.
And had no idea. I mean, obviously he was 90 and everybody said, well, he was 90, yes. You know, what did you expect? But I thought, no, I kind of... And he thought he was going on till he was 100, and that's what he kept saying on the day, you know.
Yes.
So to think that that was the last time I was ever going to see him was a massive shock. Mm. And then the last time I spoke to him was I was actually on Ventnor Beach in one of those lovely old beach huts that they've got there.
Yes.
And I just called him a couple of days after the party to say, did you eat all those lovely kind of, you know, cakes? I said, it's your birthday actually today, so now you can eat all those lovely cakes and biscuits, yes, and chocolates we all gave you. And he went, what biscuits and chocolates? I said, right, you know, the big carrier bag you had at the end of the day. He said, I've eaten all them. You've done what? You know, that was just him, and that's how he loved to live. You know, he loved his cakes and his cream teas, and, you know, good luck to him. So he had, you know, fabulous kind of last year, just doing whatever he wanted, you know, without anybody saying, you can't eat that, it's not good for you.
Well, my dad loved his licorice all sorts. And I mentioned just now that he was a local preacher, and he used to take Bertie Bassett models and licorice all sorts into church, because he was preaching that all sorts of people. And at his funeral, well, we don't call it a funeral because it was a celebration of life, somebody made me some earrings out of my the blue sprogs.
Oh yes, I know.
And the little licorice logs, because that was he had a thing about earrings that my sister and I used to wear. We used to wear some really wacky stuff, and he always talked about it. So, and licorice also. So I combined the two, and we had an absolutely fabulous celebration day that day. And he would have loved those earrings.
Yes, that was a lovely, lovely idea. Yeah, a lovely tribute. Good. And you store them now, presumably.
No, they were real sweets. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah, they were made out of real... I couldn't get... I know that you can get them, but we couldn't find them. So somebody actually made them out of real sweets.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely, isn't it?
You know, and
that's
I just...
thoughtful.
Yeah, and he just would have just so loved that, you know. And it was just a really happy day. And it was my mum's birthday and my niece's birthday. In our family, we double up on everything, even funeral. And actually, my sister's husband, and I know we're on the, you know, perhaps a more morbid subject, but he died 2 years to the day of my dad's death. You know, we have birthdays and, you know, we double up. My first child was born on my mum's first child's birthday, so my sister and my son have a birthday.
There's so many
things like that in our family.
Serendipity and coincidence in life,
yes,
that you just can't explain.
Yes, yeah, yes. We've just had a new addition to the family. My niece has just had her first baby. She missed my twin granddaughter's birthdays, and she missed, you know, so it was the following week, so the pattern hasn't followed. But, you know, a few of them missed, but a lot of them didn't.
It's funny, going back to what you were saying about not having your father's photo up and what a big difference that made. Again, I can remember with my dad having a photo, you know, I went and got all these photos done of him, and then I bought the frames, and I spent such a long time choosing them, and they had to be perfect. And I was so thrilled when I got them, and they were such lovely photos. And that was actually one of him as a little boy. And obviously he was 90 when he died, so we're going back a long time. I'm going back 85 years. Mm-hmm. Sitting on Sandown Station in his school uniform with half a dozen other school children. And because he was the poorest boy in the class, someone somewhere had kindly paid for them all to come from the East End to have a holiday on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, wow.
So I framed that one, because obviously living here, that was extra special.
Yes, of course.
And it was ridiculous, Lynn, because then I thought, well, that's that then. I've sort of got Dad back, job done. And I sort of skipped home from the shop, and I thought, well, my, fancy that. That's brilliant, brilliant. And it took, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour to think, you haven't got him back at all. You know, you've done as much as you can,
but you haven't
got him back.
No, no.
And then I found some old DVDs, and I was watching them, not knowing what was on them. And, of course, it's not my father in it, but it's him talking over it because he's filming it.
Right, yes.
So I can hear him laughing and I can hear him talking and taking the mickey out of me, which is fine.
Yes.
So that was very special to find that. That was a little bit of magic. So you do, and they do kind of crop up, don't they, and remind you and think, yeah, I'm still here, I'm still guiding you, it's okay. So you talk about this dark tunnel.
Yes.
And it sounds horrific, really, but it also seems that you had a good place with your parents, and then you, like you say, you had a laptop and you were able to sort of make a new friend of that, by the sounds of it.
Well, absolutely, yes. I thought, let's have a little play on here, and I found Facebook.
Okay.
And I found, you know, people were talking to me across the world.
So how new was Facebook, or how old was Facebook when you first discovered it?
Do you know, I can't remember because I can't... I don't remember when it was started, but this was in 2009.
Okay, so it'd been going a while, I guess.
Yes, so it wasn't brand new. And there was... I remember now there's a lady I would love to meet, and she lives in Australia, and she was just so nice to me on there. Sorry, excuse me, I'm just going to do the same. Sorry, just got a tickle.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and... And she reached out to me, and then, of course, my dad died, and she asked for my address. Now, I would normally never give somebody on the internet that I didn't really know that well my address, but for some reason, I think my dad was telling me to, and she sent me the most beautiful card. Oh, you know,
a bereavement card.
It's wonderful. And I just, you know, this person from that I'd never met, you know.
How lovely.
And that's the wonderful thing about the internet.
And it's lovely when it works like that. It's not so nice when it you know, you get the trolls and you get these people that just seems to want to dump absolute misery and venom and then run away and hide.
Yes.
Having caused such miseries.
Yes. Oh, well, I've had my share of that. And
how do you deal with that, then?
In a very positive way. All you can do is be positive.
Do you ignore it? Do you
no,
reply?
No, I don't. I haven't. When it's been more like a personal attack on me, I would just go in and put a polite remark when somebody's been rude, and I've had quite a lot of it myself. The more you put your head above the parapet, the more it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
I was told that when you get trolls, you've made it. You know, you've made it somewhere important.
That's way of looking at it.
You know, it's like a badge of honour. Yes. I'm not sure. Anyway, I just... I'm now... I've always tried to be a very positive person. Of course, I've had my you know, bits in the long dark tunnel, but always tried to be positive. And I do a lot of looking at positive statements and reading positive stuff, and I now sort of try and share that out with other people.
So affirmations.
Yes, affirmations, or, you know, just I actually also do top tips from the bus stop.
I've seen that.
Some of those are about, you know, believing
in... Tell us more, because I've seen top tips from the bus stop. People listening may not know what we're talking about.
No, because I'm a whiz with the social media, I decided I wanted to do something a little different. And because I don't have a car, I use the buses a lot. And so I thought, I know, I can give daily top tips from the bus stop via Facebook Live. So I actually record them while I'm standing at the bus stop. So I have to get to the bus stop in advance of the bus coming. One day it came and I had to jump on and do it at the other end.
And you were the only passenger to chastise the driver being early.
Oh, no, I never chastise the drivers because I'm trying to make them all smile, which is another story. So I will give top tips at the bus stop, and they might be tips about business or tips about life in general, you know. And one of them was like, take time out to go and smell the roses, and I took a picture of something, but they weren't roses, there was something else, but, you know, that's a bit of humor going on.
And have you got a lot of people following top tips?
There are quite a few. I mean, you know, it's growing. I didn't know if anybody would follow me, but if you don't try anything, you'll never know.
No.
And I keep meeting people daily saying, oh, I saw your top tip at the bus stop, because I can't see who's watching.
No, of course,
it might tell me how many views it's had. And of course, because it's Facebook Live, it then stays, people can watch it on the replay as well, and so the numbers are going up, and I can share those videos as well once they're there. But, you know, people will say, oh, I saw that one, thanks, Lynn, that was good. And somebody said to me, I really like it, it's small bite-sized bits, but a lot of it will be positive statements. I look up quotes from motivational speakers and things like that, and Zig Ziglar, and you know, Tony Robbins, and all sorts of people like that.
What what's your favourite one? What's the one that you kind of draw on?
Well,
that keeps
I think
you going?
I think it's the Dr. Seuss one. Why fit in when you were born to stand out? And I've been criticised a lot. You know, my trolls have said that I'm mad, I'm wacky. Yes, I know I'm mad and wacky, but actually, my tribe like that.
Yes,
my, the people
exactly.
who I'm connect, my ideal audience relate to me.
Of course, and that's what they want.
You know, that's right.
And if they want staid and boring, then they can find someone else.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I have some pretty fun answers. I had somebody making fun of me. Why are you always having coffee and cake? You know, why are you always talking about coffee and cake? Well, that's where my ideal audience like to meet. We like to meet in coffee shops. Mm. But I just started writing blogs, small blogs about cake.
Well, I'm
naughty
sorry,
me.
But I don't understand people that don't like cake.
No, I can't understand it. Mind you, I'm not so much on the cake now because I've just gone grain-free.
Oh, Lynn. Mm. Why?
Yeah. For 5 years I had a skin problem and unfortunately... I was just being offered drugs after more drugs after more drugs, and it was getting worse, not better. And when the last lot of drugs were offered to me and I was told it would suppress my immune system, I decided that I didn't actually want to take them and I had to do something else. And I don't know if you know Tina. Do you know Tina Hyde?
No.
Well, she's a lovely girl on the island. I met her through when I was a Rotarian, and our paths have crossed many times. And she's a member of my network group that I run. And she'd been nagging me in the background about diet, although I hadn't heard it. But basically, she suggested that I went on a grain-free diet.
So. Oh, brilliant. And it's doing the trick.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, the skin's much better.
Good. Please hear it. Well, you look lovely.
I've speeded up. I'm walking a lot faster now.
Brilliant. Okay, well, after the break, we're going to be talking more to Lynn and more about her social media business and using social media for social good. So I think that's going to be really interesting. And Lynn's going to be giving us lots of tips. So if you're a Luddite like me, stay tuned. Okay, back after the break. Thanks for listening.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Across the Isle of Wight and across the world, this is Vectis Radio.
White Sight is a ride-based spectacle boutique. Here's how it works. You need glasses? Take your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ride. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses. Stockists of Gucci, Dior, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Bans and many more. You'll be spoilt for choice. White Sight's an independent retailer, so you can shop locally and be assured of first-class service and great glasses. Visit them in Cross Street Ride or check them out on www.whitesight.co.uk.
Do you run your own business? Do you have staff? Have you considered how to protect your business if staff decide to leave? This is just one of the things you need to consider as an employer. Real Employment Law Advice can take the worry away and provide you with everything from employment contracts that are tailored to protect your business through to full HR outsourcing advice. Whatever your budget or whatever your needs, Real Employment Law can help. Go to adviceforemployers.co.uk for more information.
Check out the Riverside Centre Carpentry Shop next door to Vectis Radio. Skilled craftsmen have a small shop that's set up to donate to the Riverside charity. The shop contains nest boxes, tables, garden furniture, wooden horses. Practically anything wooden can be made to order. The skilled craftsmen are down to earth and really friendly. So don't be shy. Come and see them here at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
Solent, the ultimate scent for men. Do you like your man to smell fresh? As fresh as the catch of the day? Solent, the scent of the sea, the number one aftershave in the south. Solent by Vectis.
If you've got a wicked sense of humour and you like a laugh, why not tune in to us every single Thursday, 10 till 1, it's Macca and the Floozy, only on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Hello and welcome back to Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my guest, Lynn Blackledge. Lynn is, as I said earlier, a social media whiz kid, and she's been telling us how finding a laptop was her saviour in her hour of need and how it's opened up a whole new business for her and a whole new way of life. So tell us more about that, Lynn, because to me, laptops, technology, complete anathema.
Well, the social media side of it's fine. The technology behind it challenges me. And I'm having a challenge at the moment because my Wi-Fi is not connected. But yesterday I met somebody, just by chance, who's going to sort it.
Brilliant.
So that, you know, because I network all the time wherever I go.
You need your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been having to go to a local hotel to do my work.
Okay.
That's not good. So, yeah.
Like you say, you don't need to know how it works,
no.
But you need to know when it works,
yes.
What to do with it.
Absolutely.
And the most efficient, effective way of that. Now, there
yes.
seems to be so much social media coming at us all the time. I'm just wondering, for me, it feels like it just goes out into a big black hole. Clearly it doesn't, but I'm sure if you don't do it right, it does.
Some of it, yes. Some of it certainly does go into a big black hole, and it is about knowing how to do it, knowing where to find your audience, and knowing the right times to post. And there's so much there. Now, because I teach social media, and it's our world, my son and I run the business together, because it's our world, I am across nearly all platforms. You'll find me on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram, and the latest is Snapchat, which people fall about laughing because I'm 65 and they all think it's still something that was for children. It was originally, but it isn't anymore. And I'm loving it, and it's shrunk the world big time, you know.
And Instagram is very big
Instagram,
now,
yes. I had a light bulb moment this week with Instagram. I hadn't really that was one of the weaker platforms I was on, but I just got out of bed one day and I suddenly got it.
Okay, so explain to us and to me, you know, as a complete
yes.
fool, what Instagram is and how it works.
Instagram is very visual. It's pictures, mm-hmm. and then there's a lot of tags that you put in, and you can be found by the tags. And,
I see.
You know, I mean, it isn't my strongest platform, but you know, I really sort of this week I started.
Tags are like headings,
yeah,
aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, with the hashtag
categories.
Yes. So you could search, and you would come up. You know, so obviously if you put in Isle of Wight, lots of stuff. You know, you would find stuff out, and I'm always loving to push out stuff for the island, our beautiful island.
Yes, I've seen lots of your stuff
yes,
on that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
So that is that your? Have you got a favourite platform?
My favourite, I think, at the moment is Snapchat, and it's just, and a lot of people don't really get it at the moment.
So why do you like it so much?
I can put my sense of humour on it. I mean, I do on all platforms anyway. You can have fun on it. It's about my idea is to educate, to entertain, and to inspire, and you know, those are the things I'm trying to do when I'm putting it out. So giving knowledge, but it's not about pushing your brand. It's about building your own personality.
Yes,
and people will share your snap code. That's how you get found. It's not like Facebook where you can look and find people. There are some directories now that people are in, but people, if you do a good story, somebody will share it, or other people will share it, and then you get found.
You've been found.
Yes, I've been found.
Good.
Well, I got a lot more followers, and my dad would love this. When I entered Sad Singing Sunday. Somebody
Tell
was running
more.
Something called Sad Singing Sunday. Now, I grew up as one of four, the second of four children, and the others are all musical, and I'm not. And they told me constantly that I was a rubbish singer. So the only times I sang would be in my nursery school, because it didn't matter. With the children, that was fine. In church, I just mouthed the words, you know, very conscious that I'd always been told that I was rubbish. Anyway... there was a chap, Blake Croft, is very big on Snapchat. Sorry, going the wrong way. And he started running this thing called Sad Singing Sunday, and you actually put on a rubbish sort of song. That's what it was all about. Sad singing. And
that kind of sad.
That sad singing. Sorry, not sad.
Not miserable.
Oh, no, not miserable. Sorry.
And sad as in bad.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, bad singing. Yes, so that would be very good. And I watched it a couple of weeks and I psyched myself up to do it. I thought, I'm going to enter this. I'm going to have a go. And so I did it, and it was February the 14th. And Blake didn't run it that week because he was out with his wife, because it was Valentine's Day. And I said, Blake, I've psyched myself up to this and now you're not doing it. He said, send it in the next week. So I did, and I was voted the winner.
Does that mean you were voted the worst, Lynn?
Well, I'm not sure. The worst of the bad. I don't know how they did it. But what it meant to me, it was... Hey, you know what? It gave me a lot of new followers. Mm-hmm. Lots of people started following me. I had to do an acceptance speech. I put words. I think when I did my song, I put my own words about social media to a nursery rhyme. I can't even remember exactly what I did, but I used a familiar tune.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was a tune by the time I'd finished with it. But anyway, and it was funny. And I just had an incident with a runaway tomato on the bus. So that was all part of my singing and my acceptance speech. I did one of those, oh, thank you, everybody. I went into overdrive.
Hold on. Yes. I'm just still trying to kind of visualise
this
runaway tomato, you, your sad song, your acceptance speech. I think I'm getting there. Okay.
Well, yeah. That's a whole nother...
Isn't it? It's a whole other programme.
Yes, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
But in terms of using social media for social good, I know you're anxious to talk about that.
Yes.
So let's hear a bit about that.
Yes, well, and we have to remember it is social media. And I've always looked at it for doing social good. Too many trolls, too many antisocial stuff. Because of my skills, I found that, and because my network was big, because obviously I run a network group anyway, but then the network goes beyond that of all the people you come in touch with. I found out that I could use my skills to help various different things on the island, and one of those things was the Aspire project in Ryde,
yes,
which was the old Trinity Church.
That's right.
And Heath approached me and said, because I'm one of two giggly grannies. I don't know if you know that. We put the fun into fundraising for things, and my giggly granny friend and I were challenged to bring in the troops, a bit like Challenge Annika, to do the makeover in the first room at Aspire.
Oh, how fantastic.
And so I used social media. Can anybody help? I mean, obviously I'd got my own network, and we had tradespeople in the network and people who could wield a paintbrush,
yep,
or wash
what
a window,
you need,
or what. So the troops came in, and that was one of the first things of using social media for social good. So that project got done very quickly.
So presumably then you put all the before and afters.
Yes,
up,
yeah,
and
I had a, yes, yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
And so there was that, and then I was also around the same sort of time I'd been using social media. There was a hungry and homeless project being run at the church that I was attending at the time, and my giggly, this is where giggly grannies, mm-hmm, got their name,
yes,
because we started doing fundraising, and because we were giggling, somebody just nicknamed us that, so we had t-shirts made. and so again I could see that I could use social media to share what was going on, and all of a sudden there were these people offering us food, offering us clothing and blankets and all sorts of things that the hungry and homeless might want, and it was just amazing how the community came together on that. And so I started spinning it out for more things, and I've used it in the last few weeks for two different projects on the island.
Can you tell us what they are?
Yes, certainly. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Paddy McHugh who's well known on the island. I'm not sure whether you know him, but he's very well known. And he called my attention to the fact that there were three girls who had gone, left the island, and they were on a four-day challenge. They left the island with no money and no food, and they were going to get as far as they could using social media.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. They had to get as far as they could, but they had to be back on the island. They left on Friday. He called me in on Sunday and said they need some help because they had got to get back to Le Havre, and they were sort of a bit stuck with needing tickets or food or you know,
yeah.
appealing to the community,
yes.
and the social world. And so I engaged with them, and I read it up quickly because I needed to know what I was talking about, because I don't want to get involved in something if I don't know.
Yeah.
So I researched it as quickly as I could. And then I reached out to them and actually taught them, you know, over Facebook, talking to them on Facebook, taught them how to do a Facebook live broadcast, because it put them in front of the people that would help them. And, you know, that was my contribution. That was part of it. And sharing all the knowledge with other people who might say, well, I'll buy a ticket, or, you know, we'll give them some food or whatever along the way.
Oh,
so
I see.
And they got back, they did it in time, and they were raising awareness for British Heart Foundation and diabetes.
Okay. It sounds quite a dodgy challenge, though, that sending a load of girls off to get as far as they can just on social
media. Well, they were adults, not young, you know, but yes. And one of them, the one who I think inspired the project, actually had heart condition herself. Mm. So the one I was talking to was her nurse who went with her, and then there was a friend who went with her, and the friend has a husband and a child with diabetes. So it's raising awareness of that's what they were doing it for.
Yes,
it could have been. They could have got stuck. And the last thing they did, they got on a train back to Le Havre without a ticket.
Oh, naughty.
Because they needed to get back. But in the end, it worked out all right. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with that bit, but the guard... It was okay. It was fine.
And the guards.
They got back, okay, and it was a really good story. And then last weekend, we had again somebody else called me in. Tori Coles, Victoria Coles, runs White Fit. She's in a startup business, and she started White Fit, which is a gym on the Newport Business Estate. And she had the trials and tribulations of setting up a business, like lots of us do. And during that time, she was also diagnosed with cancer herself, so that, you know, obviously made her journey more difficult.
Yes, indeed.
And during this time, she decided that she wanted her gym to have an area where cancer patients could have their own area. And so she put herself forward for Voom, which was it was... Basically, it's bidding for funding from Richard Branson.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Mm. Oh, yes. And I've done this. I helped somebody years ago with something like this. But, you know, I thought, right, this is an island girl. I've been, you know, somebody's asked me, Lynn, we need you to help. And so, I had to research it and know what I was talking about, because she needed votes in order to pitch to the panel. First, there was a panel to pitch to, and then it goes on to pitch to Richard Branson himself. And the panel... she needed to be in 80th place or less on votes, and it was out of 700. She was out of 700, and when I joined, she was in about 87th place. And I thought, you know, we can do this as a community. We can do this, and I do a lot of things out there for people. So in something like this, I feel I could
yes.
call the favours in.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
And so basically. We were there, sitting there, getting votes in, and the community came. It was really brilliant. They actually, the votes were going up and down for her. She was 49th. She went up to 60 something, but she ended up in 49th place.
They don't make it easy, then, do they?
No.
Really,
they don't.
Kind of got to go.
Well, it's all about entrepreneurial, you know, entrepreneurs and all that.
I understand that, yeah. But if you can't, you know, like you say, she was ill and. It's very stressful to kind of...
Yes, well, I mean, she put herself forward to this because she wants to fund this...
but it's
this
a very worthwhile thing to want to fund.
It is, which is why I could totally get involved with it, because I'm very community... You might have gathered, I'm very community-orientated, and I see it as something fantastic and something good.
But what I was thinking is that you know, to if you're in that situation, you had to have to jump through those many hoops.
Yes.
And she was lucky in that she knew people like you who
yes.
could support her.
I mean, there were
her.
A lot of us. It wasn't, you know, obviously
you know,
not
she'd
down
just
to
be
me.
Sort of down on her own and not really knowing the ropes
yes.
and
yeah.
not had somebody like you and other yeah. people, you know, a team of people to help, then she wouldn't have made it into that top number, would she?
No, but it was an absolute proof of how the community can come together when you need it.
And, if you know how to bring
yes,
together then.
Yes. And so because my network is big, because I believed in the product, because I actually had to research it, I knew her because she was a finalist. She was an award winner in the Venus Awards. I was a finalist, so I knew her from there.
Yes.
But I didn't know the business. So I had to look up the business, and then I decided to go down to the gym and have a look, do my work, and then I could endorse it.
So did she get the funding?
She doesn't know. She got into 49th place, then she had to get her pitching pants on, as she said, and on Wednesday, where are we now, Friday, on Wednesday she was in Holborn, pitching to the panel, so she's got to wait till next week to find out.
Oh well, fingers crossed.
Yes,
then.
Yes. Crossed. So you know, it was a pretty nerve-wracking time, but you know, she just, you know, it's an amazing thing, and it's raised awareness of her gym, of course. Too.
No, that's yes. fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a good sort of knock-on effect, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I gather your business. I know you call it a global business that you run with your son in Australia.
Yes.
So how does that work between mother and son then?
Oh, it works actually quite well. I mean, the business started. I started the business at the time when you know, I'd come out of my long dark tunnel, and I wasn't doing the business anymore because they'd moved the goalposts. I had been in a network group at that point, but then actually that no longer suited my purpose, that particular network group. I started another home-based business, and I wanted a network, so I actually set my own network up, which was then called White Buzz, because obviously it was just for the island, mm-hmm. and it worked well. Four and a half years in, I set that up in 2010, and 4.5 years in, my son, who's had a social media degree and was now living in Sydney, said, actually, why don't we make the network go global with our social media skills and our business mentoring skills, and that we can do this. We live in the digital world. I mean, I still like doing the face-to-face networking that I
yeah,
do,
of course.
But we can even do that. You can even do face-to-face online, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
So we've sort of been developing that, and you know, helping people that way. So we're just starting. You know, it's not it's global in that we've, you know, he's in Sydney and here. We've got a lot more work to do yet, but of course, our profile is raising big time now through Snapchat and other things like that. You know, we're out there and people are finding us, and you know, the business is growing.
So do you offer courses to people like me who
yeah,
are absolutely
rubbish? I can do one-to-one. I mean, originally we were just going to do it for our people who actually joined our network, but actually there's a lot of people who might want just one or two lessons to get them going, so I'm going to be doing those sort of courses. Yes.
So do you sit beside someone with their laptop holding their hands,
yeah,
with
I mean,
a cup of tea and a bit of cake,
yep, absolutely
mopping up the tears.
Absolutely, because what I want to do is take the scariness out of social media, and people find it very scary, but actually it isn't, but it needs explaining in very baby, it's baby steps and very easy language,
like, you know? I said, I think it's like, it's one of those things that when it first started, I think if you were one of those kind of early adopters,
yes,
I would imagine it was quite, you know, small pond, and it was very
yes.
easy to reach everyone.
Yes.
But now everybody is jumping on board. As we said, so much of it must just fall by the wayside.
Yes, there's an awful lot of noise out there.
Yeah.
So you've got to get heard and become visible and heard, you know, so that people know who you are. So it's about, what we do is help people find the right platforms for them, because not people don't need to be on every platform. I'm on every platform because we teach social media.
So would you say, you know, if you find a platform, whether it be Facebook, Snapchat or Twitter, whatever it is,
yeah.
that you really enjoy, maybe just stick on one until you've got familiar with it?
One or two. I mean, sometimes it's good to start with one if you haven't had any experience of it at all. Start with one and then, you know, build it up.
Would you say one of them is easier than another? If somebody was listening that thought, yeah, I'd like to put my toe in the water, which one would you say?
Well, it depends on what sort of person you are, I think. It all depends on how you, you know, how you work and how you think. And so, I mean, I could explain them to people, you know, if they come to me and say, well, what do you think? And my son, he's spot on with so much of it, you know, and he does calls across to people, you know, from the other side of the world. And it's actually working out which are the best platforms for people if they haven't got any idea at all.
Yes.
You know, and then try it and see. And if that doesn't work, let's see what else works, you know, because, I mean, obviously we've got a lot of knowledge of what would work for a lot of people. What frustrates me is when people say, I haven't got time to do social media, because anybody running a business these days hasn't got time not to do social media.
I can certainly see that. Yeah.
And I'm doing a social media class next week, and I found a lovely graphic that had all the social media icons, and it had a big clock against it, and this is just, you know, brought it home to me, this is what they're saying. But of course there's so many tools to speed it up. My son manages 8 brands, so we manage brands for other people, and he's managing them, and he schedules 2 weeks of social media in 2 hours for 8 brands. I mean, obviously there's other stuff that goes out, because you have to respond on social media. If you don't respond quickly to something, so there will be stuff that you have to respond to, but he schedules a lot of posts that can just go out.
Because from my limited understanding of it, timing is everything, isn't it?
Yes.
Particularly
on
something like Twitter.
Yes. And then they've got analytics. You can look at the analytics. And I mean, my son is better at this than I am. I mean, I'm learning more about it all the time, because I'm upskilling all the time.
I'll leave it to him, Lynn. Yeah. That sounds really boring. Don't get involved.
But if I could get hold of him, sometimes he's sleeping. But actually, we keep funny hours so that we can talk to each other, because he's 10 hours ahead of us. And so there are tools that help all sorts of things. You can speed up things, you can do, there are just so many tools out there, but it's actually learning and knowing what the tools are.
How long has your son been in Australia?
He went to Australia, I think he's in his third year. He went out, he's 34 now, you had to apply between 31 and 32 for what he was going for. I've forgotten all the names of the visas and things, so, you know. And he went for a year. And then as the year was finishing, I said, oh, when are you coming back? And he said, Mum, I'm not going to like it. Oh, you're not going to like it. I'm not coming back. And, you know, I said to him, it doesn't matter. If that's right for you, it doesn't matter, because what I want for my children is what works for them.
Of course. Yeah.
And the thing is, he used to live 3 doors along from me. I see him more now on camera, or we talk every day, than I did when he lived 3 doors away.
So your son has gone to the other side of the world to get away from you, and you're like, hello, morning, hi, you awake?
No, actually, I stalk him sometimes. Yeah. If I can't find him, if he's not on Snapchat, I'll find him on Twitter, or, you know, whatever. But no, he reached out to me to put the to join the business up.
I know you are. But it is, like you say, it is that irony, isn't it?
Yes.
He's the other side of the world, and now sort of closer than ever to you, really.
Absolutely.
Which is fantastic, and you've got this bond with the business.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, and it's nice, and, you know, I mean, I'm just learning so much from him, but I'm also upskilling from all the things that are out there. You know, I'm doing lots of YouTube listening and all sorts of things to upskill all the time, so I can keep helping our members to grow their businesses.
Yeah, and it obviously, you know, it's done you a power of good in moving you forward from where you were
absolutely, yes, and my confidence. Some people find this really hard to believe, but I was very quiet and mousy as a child at school, with panic attacks in school and all that sort of thing. And as an adult, I had panic attacks and all sorts of things as well. But, you know, now I've come through it, and I feel right. That's now my mission, to help other people to get to where I am.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. You know? And I would never, meeting you, I would never have thought that you had that kind of background. You know, you seem so bubbly and vivacious.
Well, you know, and as I say, you know, I've learned to... that life, you know, it's ticking by, and
oh goodness,
got
ever,
to, you know, I'm 65, you know, I don't know how long I've got left, but I'm making every you know, every minute count.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, that's a whole different discussion, but I think, you know, one can think, oh, I'll make every minute count.
Yes.
But often you've got people in your life that impinge, and it becomes a different journey, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes you have to sidestep the people. Sometimes you can't. It's difficult. But you
well, situations.
Are,
yes,
they say you are the sum of I think they say the sum of the five closest people to you, or something like that.
Right.
And so you need to, if you want to be positive and come out of it, you need to surround yourself with positive people. If you stick with negative people all the time, they're just going to suck you down and drain. And they have. That's happened in my life.
Yes.
But I've just decided now I have a choice. I have a choice whether to be happy or whether to be miserable. And my choice is in my happiness. My bank is full of my happiness bank. I'm a millionaire in the happiness bank, is what I'm trying to say, so I get my words muddled.
Well, that's lovely. And I suppose being a millionaire in your happiness bank is helped by being granny to four.
Absolutely, yes. And I just love it. My daughter has twin girls.
Are they identical?
No, they're not. But actually now they are looking more alike, and I can turn and look, and I've called the wrong name, because there are a lot of similarities, although if you look at them face on, they're not. They're so similar. So the girls are 9. They had their 9th birthday just in May. The next one down is a girl, and she's 5. No, she's not. Sorry, she's 6. Time ticks by. And then there's a little boy of 2. And I love it when they ring up. And this week, I can't believe the years have gone, and they're 9. But Nicola rang me and she said, "Granny, I've been to learn how to do sewing on a sewing machine."
Oh.
And I think, where did those years go? But I love this because I have a background of sewing and knitting.
I thought you were going to say, "I've been to a social media class, Granny."
Oh, no. But I must tell you, going back to that, you heard me talk of a runaway tomato. It was part of a Snapchat story, and when I got to London, I was finishing the story off, and I was putting faces on avocados and things in this story, which is a whole nother day's conversation. But the children said, "Granny, what are you doing?" So I gave the phone to them, and they finished off the hair on the avocado, making the face on the picture.
Brilliant.
And the next snap was, and that's what happens when you let your grandchildren loose with your phone, you know. And it just tied into the story beautifully. And it, we don't put their pictures out on the internet, that's a rule that we don't. But you might see a hand, or you might see a shoe, because it's part of my story,
yes,
and people
course.
Like to know that. So we might be baking; you'll see them stirring in a pot or something like that. But other than that, and then they like.
Do
to
they
know.
Connect with you on social media? Do they FaceTime you and things like that?
No, we're more on the phone at the moment. Yeah. And I've got granny duty next week.
Is that in London?
Yes. But hopefully better than last time, because last time I was there, I went to help my daughter and ended up flat out on the sofa with a suspected deep vein thrombosis.
Oh, Lynn.
Which fortunately it wasn't.
That must have been scary.
It was horrible, but it was the best place to be, because my daughter looked after me while I was there. So I stayed an extra week. Then had an accident. I fell off my... I have a little stool I sit down on because my leg had been bad. And it collapsed while I was sitting on it.
Oh, Lynn, now let's not make any comment about that.
No, I won't. It was on my Snapchat story when I knew I wasn't dead.
Well, before you can come to any harm in the studio, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
Because we're not insured for that sort of thing. been absolute joy talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm none the wiser at the moment about the social media, but I want to talk to you afterwards, and I think I need some lessons from you. So I'm definitely going to be in touch after the show with that.
Thank you.
So thank you all for listening too, and... please join us again next week for another edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls, when my special guest will be Anuda Kautha, a transformation consultant, and she's going to be giving us lots of positive advice and lots of positive energy, and she homeschools her child, so I think there might be some really interesting stuff around that too. So have a lovely weekend. Let's hope this weather perks up for us all, and I'll speak to you next Friday. Bye bye now.